Hello, and welcome to Anaphylaxis UK's Let's Talk About Allergies podcast, where we provide expert answers to common questions about allergies and anaphylaxis. Our goal is to offer valuable insights on how we can all work together to make life easier and safer for those living with allergies.
Hello, and welcome back to Let's Talk About Allergies. Today we're tackling a topic that's likely top of mind for many parents right now, transitioning to secondary school with a child who has allergies. The shift from primary to secondary school is a big one for any child, but it can bring extra layers of concern when allergies are involved. So I'm thrilled today to be joined by Tracy, our Education and AllergyWise Manager.
Hi Tracy, thanks for joining us today. So today we're talking all about secondary school and the transition, which can cause a lot of different worries for parents and children. So I thought I would just start with asking you what the key differences are in allergy management between primary and secondary school.
Hi Mary, thanks for asking me to do this podcast. It's a really important area and one that can cause quite a lot of worries and anxieties for both the children and for the parents. And that fundamentally is because it's that change. And parents have had their children at their primary school for 7 years. They're much smaller. The parents and the children are really familiar with the school. And then we're moving to a new school, which can be much further away, has transport changes. It has a lot more students there. And the entire system of how that education happens changes. In primary school, children have the same teacher for the entire day, apart from the odd specialist teacher here or there. So communication about the child and about the allergies is much easier to ensure happens well. In a secondary school, it's a big organisation. The child will have a tutor and then they will have subject teachers and then they will have heads of house as well as the school's leadership team. There will be a team of people that look after the medical conditions of children in the school. And so it can be a little bit daunting for everybody in the early days to know who to speak to or how things work.
So lots of changes, a lot bigger, more people involved. Yeah, I can see how that would mean that there are different things that we need to do to prepare. So what preparation do families need to do before September, before their child is starting secondary school, both at home and with the school?
Thank you for that question, Mary, because it is in two areas. I'm managing the child's allergy. Isn't just about the school, it is also about the child and the family and the child being able to take that responsibility for themselves as they're growing up and getting older. So the school have clear responsibilities for ensuring that their staff have training in order to manage anaphylaxis and allergy effectively, quickly and appropriately should that happen. They have clear responsibilities in making sure that staff are aware of children's allergies and how they need to support children with medical conditions. But there isn't one size fits all, and every secondary school will do this slightly differently, all guided by the key statutory documentation, which is supporting pupils with medical conditions at school. But the implementation of that will work depending on the circumstances of the school. So there will be a need to communicate for parents and carers and their children to actually communicate with the secondary school that they know that they're going to find out exactly how it works. But at home, there are lots of things that you can do if you're not already doing them in order to prepare your child for taking more responsibility for ensuring that they are safe and healthy at school. It's the start of learning their life skills.
So what type of things should we be encouraging at home to make you feel more comfortable letting them go to secondary school?
So it's around the confidence to be able to speak up and speak out. So the child needs to understand their allergies. They need to know what symptoms they could have if they have an allergic reaction or if they have anaphylaxis, because often children haven't experienced anaphylaxis or an allergic reaction for a good number of years, which is absolutely fantastic and the way that we want it to be. But that means that they won't necessarily remember what it feels like. And so, first of all, it's important that they do understand what those signs and symptoms could be. They need to understand their medication and their care plan, their allergy action plan, so that they know when to take what, when to administer adrenaline auto-injectors, and how much antihistamine they need to take if they're taking the antihistamine to manage the allergic reaction.
Sure.
They need to carry their medication for themselves, and that's crucially important. They will be expected to do that in secondary school.
Mm-hmm.
And as parents and carers, we will have made sure that the children have got very obvious packaging or containers for their EpiPens. And quite often, it's quite easy for mum or dad just to slip it into their rucksack for themselves. But now is the time to ensure that the child has a bag or a case that they are happy to carry. If they're not happy to carry it, they probably won't. There probably will be resistance.
Mm-hmm.
And okay. So having that knowledge that your child is happy with what you're asking them to carry it in is essential. So that has to be a conversation.
So at secondary school, they will be in charge of their own medications and their reactions, and they need to be able to understand what might happen. In primary school, that perhaps isn't the case in all primary schools. In your opinion, as a parent with children with allergies and as a head teacher, when do you think is the right time for children to start carrying their own adrenaline pens and to really be aware of what's going on and what reaction they might have, the symptoms they might have, and when they need to administer or get someone to administer those pens?
As early as possible. So in my schools and with my own son, it was key stage two. He started to carry his own adrenaline auto-injectors. Every time we thought he might be having an allergic reaction, we would talk about the medication that he needed to have. And involving them early means that it becomes second nature. Mm. And that's what we need to happen for our children. We need them just to see it as an extension of picking up the house keys, putting your shoes on, putting your coat on. It's something that they always need to have with them. So that's not saying in primary school that the school doesn't have any responsibility for managing it. Of course they do. It's really important that the adult is checking all of the time. But it becomes much easier for the children when they transition to secondary school if they've had responsibility, shared responsibility for managing their allergy from a younger age. And that's something that you could ask primary school to do if they're not already,
mm-hmm.
is now they're in year six, can they start to share responsibility for making sure that medication is with them all of the time?
So what's the best way for parents then to communicate with the school about their child's allergies? I assume they want to start these conversations now about their child's allergies and what plans are in place for the children.
Absolutely. So once offer day has happened and you've accepted the offer that has been made, there is a time period between the offer being made and when everybody has to have accepted their offers. And until that point, schools don't actually have confirmed information about who is coming. And so they may not yet have communicated with every child that is joining them in year seven. My advice would be to wait for that first communication from school, which you should have in a couple of weeks' time. It will have a name on the letter, and your first port of call will be that person. It's usually the transition person to say, actually, my child's got allergies. I'd like to meet with the relevant people in school because I have some questions and I want to ensure that their allergy management is going to be really, really good and seamless in the transition from primary school. So that name on the letter initially is crucial. Mm-hmm. And then once they have responded to you, you will then be able to meet with the relevant team. Now, in primary schools, these are different people, and in secondary schools, these are different people too. So it could be the medical team. It could be the transition coordinator. It could be a member of the administration team. It might be a first aider. It's whoever that school has designated responsible for managing allergies in school. And then once you've had that meeting, or during that meeting, you can start to ask those questions and get your reassurances and find out exactly how it's going to work.
What about if you're not happy with the allergy policy that the school has in place at the moment? How should you communicate with the staff to ensure that they take into consideration your views and suggestions in a positive light? Let's say if you wanted to edit a few things in the policy.
Absolutely. And that's really crucial, is the way that we manage ourselves when we are communicating with secondary school. Because when we see a policy that makes us feel really uneasy, lots of people then have to fight the urge to be really pushy in that change of policy. The best way to engage schools is in a supportive way, to actually say, I've noticed, can I help you with? And point them in our direction. We have got so many resources for secondary schools, from allergy policies which have been approved by the Department for Education, to lots of risk assessments which are free to download off of our website. We have training that they can undertake. We have our helpline, and I'm available in order to speak to schools and help them with any difficulties that they might have. So it's that collaborative approach that we need to go into schools with to suggest any changes that might need to happen. You absolutely need to express your worries and concerns. And if they don't listen, if they are resolute in not making any changes, then the way to progress a complaint is on the school's website. They have to have a complaint policy. By following the complaint policy means that you won't get that pushback that you would get otherwise, and it will be dealt with properly. And so there is that formal process for complaints. In a primary school, the staff are so much more accessible, and you would normally just have a chat with one of them. In a secondary school, you'll end up chatting to the wrong person unless you actually find out who is responsible for managing those medical conditions in school and then following those processes.
So we've discussed communication when you're preparing to start a secondary school. What about during the year? How should parents communicate with the school throughout the year to ensure schools are keeping on top of the children's allergies whilst planning activities that might cause extra risk?
I think the important thing with allergies is knowing what's coming up. And you'll get your letter home from school to say that there is a trip happening, or they are going to do cooking in their DT cycle. And the best approach is to ensure that you contact the lead for the department and ask those questions directly. Now, in secondary schools, most of the communication, in my experience, is via email initially. And if you need to, then you can have a conversation afterwards. So, for example, my son was very sporty, and so he would be participating in a lot of school events. And so initially I would contact the PE lead for the school. And then if I needed to, I would say, can we have a conversation about it? Or I could offer the conversation at that time. The DT, when he did DT cycles and was cooking, initially I spoke to the lead teacher. In subsequent cycles, we just did it by email because I was satisfied and my communication was just to prompt them. The tutor is a good source. If you're ever not sure about anything, they will signpost you in the right direction. And also the person that manages the medical conditions in school is also a good person, but they will have a lot less input into the curriculum side of things. So it does feel much more daunting because there's more people to get to communicate with. But I found that as is needed is a good approach rather than overloading staff with the emails.
And I assume, it won't always be the same in every school who the person is that you're speaking to. Just to take it as it comes and when needed to reach out. And as you said, I'm sure the tutor is a good person to start with if they're seeing your child every day, every morning, and understanding how they're fitting in and working at school. So in your opinion, what common challenges do students with allergies face in secondary school? Is there anything in particular that at secondary school is more likely to happen than at primary school? And how could we address these issues?
So the key one is the fact that the children have to speak out for themselves. They have to speak up for themselves. And the teachers will know, there will have been a way of that the school has communicated with all of the teachers. But children need to have the confidence to speak up and to speak out. So they need to have the confidence to say, this is not working for me, this isn't safe for me, or is this safe for me is a really good question. Lunchtime, they're expected to manage their food for themselves or snack at break time. And they are going to, if they're purchasing food, they are going to have to be able to speak out and ask questions about the food that is safe for them. And each school will have its own system. So preparing your child to do that is key. And that's things that you can do when you go out to eat or when you go round to somebody's house or when you have a play date. It's teaching the children how to use those allergen matrix in order to find out whether or not they can eat that food safely or not. And so there are those lots of things that we can prepare the children mm-hmm. to be able to do. And then just to check in with them gently, not to grill them over how it's going, but check in with them and seeing how they're feeling about managing their own allergies at school and whether they're encountering any difficulties, having that open communication and respecting what they say. As a parent at primary school, I often would just dive straight in myself. At secondary school, my son didn't want to do that, so we would have a coaching conversation at home to enable him to go into school and raise the queries. And if he couldn't do it for himself, then I would be the backup. But he very much didn't want me to be mum fighting his corner for him anymore.
To round up, I was just wondering what your top tips are for a successful transition to secondary school for a child with allergies.
So my top tips would be prepare. So do that preparation at home to enable your child can manage their allergies independently and to speak out and to speak up about them. To proactively communicate with school, to make sure that you have approach that in a very supportive way if there are worries and concerns that you have, because you do have lots of knowledge as a parent that can support a school. But remember, they're not just supporting your child with allergies, they are supporting lots of children with allergies across the school. Those are my two key tips, and they're very broad, but it does come down to preparation and proactive communication.
Right. And us at Anaphylaxis UK, we've obviously got lots of resources. How can we support families during this transition process? What are our top resources?
So we have a fantastic guide on the website for parents and carers around that transition to secondary school, which thinks about the transition days as well as actually starting school in September. We also have information for secondary schools, and it's worth parents just making sure that they know about our free resources that are on the website that that secondary schools can download. And also making sure that secondary schools know that we have really helpful teaching resources attached to our training courses, so that the schools themselves have all of the relevant materials to lead assemblies, discussions in tutor times, and also for the DT department when they're cooking and thinking about how allergens factor in that department. So we've got all of those resources that are available, and then we have our helplines as well.
Amazing. And that will all be in our Safer Schools program.
Yes, all in Safer Schools.
Thank you for joining us, Tracy, and look forward to having you back soon.
Thanks, Mary. It's been a pleasure to talk about this transition.
We hope you enjoyed tuning in to today's podcast on this very important topic. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, you can subscribe to our podcast on your favourite podcast app, including Spotify and Apple Music. Finally, be sure to follow us on social media at AnaphylaxisUK to join in the conversation, and let us know if there are any questions you would like us to answer next time.